Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Well, we had several exciting assignments over this weekend, and here they are.
Okay.
If we could see the miracle of a single flower, our whole life would change. Remember the quote about if you want to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe? The miracle of life we live in is so us, we've lost sight of it. What is this that we call life? How is this happening? With all our science, all our advanced technologies, life is as much a miraculous mystery to us as it's ever been, or perhaps not. Perhaps all our information lulls us into believing that we know something, but of course we don't, do we? We have no idea how a flower. Fortunately, we don't need to know how a flower is. All we need is to realize the unknowable miracle that a flower is. Today, stop often to sneak up on some of the hows of your life. How seeing, how hearing, how smelling, tasting, touching, feeling. How can you sense the miraculous nature of being? Record and listen. On Saturday, let us not look back in anger or forward in fear, but around in awareness. If we add guilt, regret, disappointment, judgment, blame, mistakes, resentment, and self-pity, we have a fairly clear picture of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate's version of the past. Fear of the future just naturally contains lack, loss, disappointment, disaster, and deprivation. The quote helps us see that without a conversation and conditioned mind, none of that exists. When our lives are viewed through the lens of awareness, we see opportunities, learning, growing, changing, support, care, kindness, excitement, and fulfillment. Today, as often as you can, drop all those past, future meanings. Look through the lens of awareness and glimpse the miraculous nature of your life. Record and listen. And then on Sunday, we don't see things as they are, we see them as we are. If we were to phrase that, we see the world through the lens we're identified with, we can step out of the black-white world of ego duality and into something closer to how it is. When I fly into a rage or burst into self-pitying sobs, is that who I am? Not at all. Ego would like us to believe that identification with it is a truth about who I am. It's certainly the case that who I is one of those ego, in one of those ego-identified situations, is that identification. But that has nothing to do with the authentic nature of a human being. We really do need new pronouns. Today, with a firm grasp on the important practice tool of projection, watch to see what, ego or life, dark room or light room, is projecting the things you are seeing. Record and listen.
Wow, big weekend.
Big weekend. All right. Here we go. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Richard in New York City.
Hello, Richard.
Hi. okay. Well, I'm just very pleased to get on. It's been quite a while, and I've been brave enough to be in the queue. I'm happy about that. I returned to form at doing that. And I'm looking at the three assignments here to see what I might speak to. Okay. I'm going to just acknowledge how wonderful and meaningful it is for me to work with this. If you want to make an apple pie from scratch, you must first invent the universe idea. And to me, that's connected with we don't know, the great don't know. I mean, but we do know that everything seems at even a cursory glance, we see the interconnectedness of everything. And
So Richard,
yeah,
if I may, I happen to know something of your love of music. And
yeah.
I was just looking when you were saying that about the apple pie. That, so what if a person wanted to write a song? And for me, even more than an apple pie, I can get a sense of how everything in the universe would be required to do that. Because if we think about sound,
yes,
that vibration, and that vibration's role in the manifestation of the universe, you know, if we just kind of go there and start out, get a feel for, and then of course there's the when we do the how hearing, you know, that piece of it, and then we go to the dropping in of that, oh, that note, oh, that sound, oh, right? We can
yes.
sense our role in all of that. Yeah, very fun.
Yes, yes. I was, you know, everybody's been referring a lot to the holiday family get-togethers, and I had an incredible one, and it was just as difficult as anyone else's, but I was able to be with my musician nephew, who was doing a great, just you know, having a wonderful time in his life with music, and I was trying to present to him this idea that the issue of whether music drops in, just drops in,
uh-huh.
or whether it does depend on our, you know, reworking our notes and stuff like that. And we had a great conversation about that. But I want to bring up, it did drop in just now. Actually, the hugest thing in a way in my life just now is that out of the blue, I got a chance to perform under my own name. This is so rare that I get the leadership aspect, and it's part of a prestigious situation of all my colleagues, and I know how they will be looking at it. I know how I do when I see that somebody has a gig under their name, and what's been great too is noticing how my mind immediately is going to go through all of the ego conditioning, self-hate stuff, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
you don't
yeah.
really deserve that. You're not that good. That was a mistake. Oh, okay, you better practice 10 hours a day. You've got to practice 10 hours a day. And
yeah,
all of that,
yeah.
And I'm happy to say it's all right there. That stuff never leaves, but I'm able to recognize it faster and
yeah.
drop it.
And drop it. And really, which is such a picture of what awareness practice does for us, because you can see, I mean, you've worked hard all your life at your turning your talent into skill, and then ego would take it away from you at every opportunity. And now with practice, you can see that system for what it is, and you can drop it and really enjoy the gifts that you've been given by life and the work that you have done to develop those gifts into something that you and a lot of other people can really enjoy.
Yes. Yes. And
all right, when is it going to happen, Richard?
December 11th.
December 11th. Okay. So I got to be thinking
I'll
about
you know.
On December 11th. Okay, you do that. You please do that. Remind me, all right?
Greetings to all of the Sangha, and thank you to you and Ashwini and all Sangha. Thank you.
All right. Take care, Richard.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Richard.
Ooh, we can be there in spirit for the event.
Yes. We will be.
Yes. Yes.
And somewhere, I think, I was looking at how every act of creativity is an act of divinity, because it is the way in which we are the channels through which the life force manifests an expression, right? The mysterious becomes concrete. It's one of the most incredible experiences to be able to be that. And we are that in every moment. And here's a way in which it actually is a lot more concrete.
Yes, and that we can more easily experience it.
More easily experience it. Like every moment is a moment of creative expression of the life force. But when it's in the form of a poem or art or music, it seems to be that much more concrete, I guess.
Yeah. It's a funny word for it, but it's the best one I can come up with too. Yeah, more tangible,
That's it. More tangible. Mm-hmm. All right. Shall we hear from our next caller, Sherry?
Yes, please.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi. Can you hear me? It's Janice.
Yes, we can hear you. Hello, Janice.
Oh, good. Hello. I have some earbuds I'm using, and they don't seem to have a mic. So.
They do. Yes. I can promise you they do. They don't seem to, but they do, which is something that we have a lot of life like that, don't we? Doesn't seem to, but it is. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I just have to trust, right?
That's exactly it.
So, right at this moment, I'm experiencing that hearing and that seeing and, you know, that whole brand new of how miraculous life is. Because as you know, that sometimes when we move to a different place, we get to see new things that are more stimulating. And that's the way it's been working.
The argument for it and why ego so resists change, right? Why in practice we are so enthusiastic about change and why ego is so resistant to it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to really be there, right? You're in a new place. You actually don't automatically know where the grocery store is, and you don't know the grocery store, and you don't, go ahead.
Yes, so I am really in a new place today, because we had a trip planned to just be easeful and take care of my husband, and now the insurance wouldn't cover. And in the meantime, a cousin died, and we had to do a little interior travel and then come back. And I said, I can't do that trip. And he said, no, you do the trip. I'll stay home, and our son can come and be there. So I showed up here, and I'm looking at this giant surf on Maui.
Oh, my.
And I thought, you know, it's really true. It gave somebody else the responsibility to connect, and it gave me the chance to come and have some respite and wake up super early to do my meditations and things so I could be on the radio show, because there's a couple of hours difference. So I just sat outside in the darkness and listened to that pounding surf. It's jaw-dropping to see, because I haven't got any experience of this.
A new manifestation of the magnificence of nature.
Yes. So, all along, there were points where it was like, I don't know if we're going to go, and then I don't know if I'm going to go, and I don't know what's going to happen. It was just, without the practice,
so obvious.
There wouldn't be that one step at a time.
Yes. It's so obvious. It's always the case, but it's like the music, right? There are just some times in life when it's so obvious we cannot miss it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
know. Yeah, I yes. And the
and you've been in a roller coaster of I don't know, haven't you?
God,
this,
yes.
This life is really giving you a big gift of I can't remember what Richard just called it, but the great I don't know, or the, you know,
the I don't know
in all capital letters. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Mm. And, well, yeah, it's just wow. And I was thinking how early on when Project Joy began at the beginning of the year, I was just saying, you know, I'm just lying in a full prostration here saying, thank you so much. And here it's, you know, it's near the end of 2017. It's unbelievable the power of this practice. This, hello everybody, we're all here together tumbling around. I think you mentioned like being like potatoes in a pot, just
right.
We're stewing away.
Yeah. Well, and you segued beautifully. I think Ashwini has a little announcement for us that you set her up for just magnificently. So how much longer are you going to be on Maui?
10 days.
10 days. Okay. Well, I'm going to be thinking of you there, and enjoying that experience with you. So, thank you for that. All right. Take care, Janice.
Okay. Thank
enjoy.
You, everybody.
Truly, truly enjoy. Will. Enjoy.
Thanks.
All right. For all of us.
Yes. Yes. Enjoy. Yes. I am. Joy.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Janice. Sherry, I might take the moment to make the announcement since I got such a lovely segue into it before bringing on the next caller. And
yes,
it's
please.
Two things. One, Project Joy continues till January 19th, 2018 to get the full 365 days.
Uh-huh.
So
January
we
what?
Can look
January 19th?
19th. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we kick off the new year on the, I can't remember, 20th or 21st, that Sunday, I think, right after. So Friday is the last call. So, and hopefully there won't be an interruption in our, in what we choose to focus on for the rest of the year. And my second announcement is that we've received so much feedback about how important Project Joy has been for people's practice, and that they want some way to preserve what we did this year in an easily accessible format. And so someone else had a very clever idea of converting Project Joy into an app that you can access on your phone that would produce the quote and the assignment and the radio show attached to it, so you could listen to it at any time, and even make your own recording and store it with that particular day's assignment if you continue to practice with it. And,
An amazing possibility.
An amazing possibility that we're very happy, very happy to create. And as we've been exploring how to do that, it's a fairly large investment for us. Apparently app development is quite expensive. And even for something that we will do, which is pretty basic. And so someone from the Sangha actually very, very generously agreed to fund the application. And we very grateful. And it's not sufficient to meet what is required in order to build the application. And so we're going to actually just let life decide whether the app gets built or not, and invite anyone who would benefit from the app to potentially donate towards it. If we raise the funding that is required to build the app, then we'll build it, and anyone who donated, of course, gets the app. And if we don't, then we'll just give everybody their money back and say life didn't make, this wasn't meant to happen. So just look out for an email with the details of what I just said, and if you're interested in receiving the app or having it built, then there are some instructions to follow. Let us know.
That's so exciting. What a brilliant time to be alive. You know, you think about those folks like in Japan, you know, hundreds of years ago, and they wanted to practice Zen, and then they would put on their little sandals and their little hat and put a knapsack on their back and take off and start walking for a few months to get to some place where they could actually have people to practice with. And then there's where we are now. Really, it's glorious. Very grateful.
Yes,
thank
glorious.
You for that, Ashwini.
Well, and you know, Sherry, the principle of this was something that is as much practice, right? I mean, all of the practice that we put out there is just offered freely, and and it's offered freely because there are so many people who support it. You know, that it is possible for it to be offered freely because there's such a generous support for it. And the little article that you wrote in the guidelines booklet at the monastery will always stay with me, which is there is no fear in whether practice will continue or not. I mean, we don't do it from that place of fear, because if there is that support, it will continue. And if there isn't that support, it won't. And to me, there's no attachment in that, you know, and that is sort of the way in which we're doing this particular development, which is, this is one of those things that if the Sangha doesn't want it, isn't going to happen. But that's all right, you know, it will or it won't, and we'll get together see. And that's the magnificence of, it's such a concrete manifestation of what we've been doing every day for the last year.
Right. Yeah. Really is. And quickly, because I know then we'll have time for somebody else to come on. You know, over the years, people have suggested that we put a price on open air and on the archives, because so many people listen to the archives of that. And of course, we've always voted no, because there are, again, so many people who come to practice via that avenue, and we don't want to close that off to anybody. So that what Sangha wants and chooses is what we go forward with. So
it's truly homage to everyone who's approaching this holy path. I mean, we say this at every there's nothing wrong with your retreat or any retreat at the monastery, that it would not be possible if everyone who's gone before hadn't ensured that practice exists for everyone who's approaching. So just a big, great thank you to Sangha, for Sangha, from Sangha, right? I mean, we get to say that to people.
Yeah. I hope everybody got and read our little thank you at Thanksgiving, because that was it. Getting to say thank you to Sangha, from Sangha, for Sangha, like that, you know, that it's all of us being grateful to the whatever effort anybody is making at any time.
All right, here's our next caller. I think we have time for one more. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jeff from Ohio.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Okay. Well, I'm grateful for the program. I've been listening most of the year, but I just started getting in the queue about 3 days ago, and it's
good
been
to hear
very
your
interesting.
Voice.
Yeah. It's been very difficult to pay attention while I'm in the queue. So I've been kind of working through that and letting go of the voices that, you know, that get very loud while I'm in the queue. Anyway. So I'm here today. And,
which is the practice, right? I mean, there it is. There's the argument for getting in the queue.
Yep, for sure. And, gosh, had a lot of content this year. My daughter had some surgery. Well, it was a liposuction, and it ruptured her bowel. And so I sort of walked into emergency surgery, and it was, you know, it was, I think it was septic or whatever the word is. Anyway, so they said we weren't sure if she was going to survive it or not.
Oh, my God.
And so that was, she was in the hospital for a month. And she got out, and when she got out, she was on heavy opioids, you know, the whole time she was in there. So once she got out, she had to figure out how to get off the opioids. And anyway, and so I'm here, well, back and forth, you know, being with her as well as taking care of the kids. And so it's been a very, a very busy and challenging time. And
wow.
That's, you know, and I'm just, well, I've learned a lot about, I don't know. You know, and I continue to keep learning more about it. But we were, you know, we were a long time there of not knowing, you know, different infections would pop up, you know, stuff like that. And it was.
That's something that's supposed to be so simple, right? This is something that medical science is really good at. That would be considered a not a big deal, and
yes.
We just never know. Then the next thing we know, it's life and death.
Yes, and and on top of that, of course, she didn't need the liposuction, so she's been diagnosed.
There's
with
a life
body
lesson.
You know, that distortion of her body image. So it's, you know, it's just. Goes on and on, and you know, and so it's. But I've been very grateful. I mean, even you know, when I was in the hospital, I listened. You know, I'd even try to. I usually would sneak off and listen at noontime, and of course, going to and from the hospital, I'd put the tapes in and you know, listen to recordings and stuff like that. And it's you know, it allowed me to get through a lot of that with. You know, without as much suffering as I would have expected. To be there with her.
Such a great point. That's what we're doing all the time. I get excited here. choke myself. that we're here, right? So we're with Sangha. We're practicing. We're meditating, we're here. We're focusing on being here. And we're aware of the voices that are going on trying to distract us from being here, but we're here. And then we go into life circumstances that are really, really challenging, as happens with us with a regularity that most folks wish didn't happen, right? That there's often something going on that is difficult, painful, scary, and we go into that, and then whatever happens, the voices grab us, they drag us around, they make us miserable, and then we come back to center, back to, okay, I don't know, but we're here, and I trust, I have faith, I can do this, I can take another breath, and then we go back in again, and that's what we're doing. That's how we're getting through life circumstances that ego would have destroy us.
Yeah. Well, and it was good because, you know, there are other people involved, her mother and, you know, the boyfriend, and I could see how them being all tied up in, you know, the normal stuff, the ego stuff, wasn't going to help at all. And in fact, you know, when she came out of the surgery, almost the first thing she said is she wanted to sue the doctor. You know, who did the original surgery. And I'm like, let's just get you better first. You know, but seeing how ego would drive her, you know, to a place where she might not survive. You know, and that, and certainly for me to go there wasn't going to help anything.
Right.
And you could just see that.
And the glorious aspect to all of us, if we can have a moment of gratitude, that we don't need to. We can watch that happening to people. We can see the suffering in it. And to know that we, even if we get pulled in periodically, we know we don't have to. We know there's another way.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for connecting this morning, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, like I said, thank both of you for this whole year. It's been great.
Okay.
I really appreciate it.
Continue to take good care, huh?
Yep, I will do that.
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jeff. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show, and here's our assignment.
Okay.
I think we all have a little voice inside us that will guide us. It may be God. I don't know. But I think that if we shut out all the noise and clutter from our lives and listen to that voice, it will tell us the right thing to do. Well, that kind of covers it, doesn't it? Today, find several times to shut out all the noise and clutter and listen to that still, small voice. Record and listen.
Simple and powerful.
Yes, and essential.
And essential, yeah, as we've just been.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you, Sherry.
Thank you so much,
Ashley. Show, and we'll talk
and
tomorrow.
To you and to everybody. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.